Hey there. Have you ever wondered if Jesus lived in our day and age in the Washington, D.C. area, where would he live? Who would he hang out with? Who would he spend his time with? Ever thought about that? I was thinking about that yesterday as I went into D.C. for the first time since January 2020. You know, COVID shut everything down and my reasons to go down kind of narrowed, became few and far between. So I hadn't been into the city in over a year. And I went down, it was really fun. I didn't stay very long. I had a meeting with a church planter, so I metroed down to Union Station, got off there, walked a few blocks, and as I was walking through Capitol Hill, I began to feel a little bit out of place. I had some khaki shorts on, I had a nice t-shirt on, but everybody I passed was like dressed to the nines. It's been a while since I've been in D.C. It's been a while since I've been on Capitol Hill. I like forgot the neighborhood had a dress code apparently. Because I was walking past all these groups of people and they were like looking down at me like it was like walking in a GQ magazine and, you know, I'm dressed like I'm going to the beach or something. Like, clearly I was out of place. Yeah, this one group was looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I don't work for anybody important. Stop staring at me. I'm clearly out of place. And then I found this restaurant where we were going, and I was a little bit nervous to walk in thinking, okay, I'm going to be the only one in there with shorts. Luckily, it was a very casual restaurant, and when I got in there, the church planter texted me and said, hey, I hope it's okay. I'm bumming today. I'm not working, and so I'm not dressed as I normally would be, you know, for the Hill. And so I was like, great. I texted back, great, perfect. You're going to make me feel like I'm not alone. So luckily, yeah, he showed up. We had a great meeting, and he started telling me about his church that he planted recently called King's Church on Capitol Hill, and told me about all these people that they're reaching, and he was telling me about all these Capitol Hill staffers they're reaching, which I was kind of like, okay, I'm pretty sure those are the people who work for congressmen and women and you know, work to create legislation. I don't know, but I think that's true. And so he told me about other ministry. And then he said, you know, and I actually live just down the street. And he goes, I moved into this new place just down the street a few months ago. And I live next to Bernie Sanders. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's good. He goes, yeah, I didn't think I'd be living next to someone like him, but he's my neighbor. And we talk about every single day. And I'm like, wow, that's also very interesting. You get to talk with Bernie Sanders almost every day. He says, yeah. So at the end of our meeting, I asked him, I go, hey, how can I be praying for you? And he said, one thing I want you to pray for is Bernie Sanders. You know, pray that I can share the gospel with him clearly. And so we did. And I began to think, like, man, if Jesus was in our day and age, if he lived here, you know, would he live on Capitol Hill? Would he, you know, try to live next to someone like Bernie Sanders to be able to influence them? Maybe, but I have a feeling that he wouldn't, because when Jesus walked the streets of Israel, when he lived here for about 33 years, we know that he didn't spend the majority of his time in the capital city with the powerful, the most influential people. He spent it with the overlooked. I mean, even at Jesus, towards the end of his life, he's getting ready to go to the cross. Luke tells us in Luke 23 that Herod Antipas, the ruler of all of Galilee, was delighted to see Jesus. He had wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to spend time with Jesus, but Jesus was, I guess, too busy hanging out with the overlooked, with fishermen, with despised tax collectors, with the people who their society had kind of pushed to the margins. Yes, Luke chapter 15 puts it this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, so these powerful, influential people, muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them? Like, this is who Jesus spends his time with? This is his crew? This is who he associates with? These tax collectors and these sinners, these nobodies? Yeah, that's who he spent his time with. And that, well, it reminds me that nobody is a nobody to Jesus, that everybody is somebody to him. It's true. You know, everybody you interact with today is somebody important to Jesus, somebody that he died for, somebody that he loves and he cares for. And so I know for me, sometimes I think, man, if I live next to Bernie Sanders, I'd be looking for every opportunity to interact with my neighbors and to share the gospel with him and to serve him. I have to realize, Sean, you live next to somebody equally as important in the eyes of God. All around you are people that are important, and sometimes they don't even know it. Sometimes they might even think that they are nobodies. But everybody Everybody you interact with, everybody you're going to meet today is a somebody to Jesus. The people cutting the grass outside, the people taking your order at a restaurant or cashing you out at the grocery store. Everybody is a somebody to God. And we have the opportunity to help them understand that God loves them, that Jesus died on the cross for them, that they're important. So even though it's easy to overlook them, don't overlook them. Those are the people that Jesus spent most of his time with and loved. And he calls us to love them as well. So remember, nobody is a nobody to Jesus. Everybody is a somebody to him. Let me pray and ask God to help us to communicate that truth to everybody we interact with today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God, we confess that sometimes it's easy to want to spend time, want to associate with powerful people, people of influence, people of means and significance. And well, sometimes we overlook the people that are just around us, that are important to you. And so, God, we confess, that heart that's sometimes out of place. And so give us your eyes. Give us a vision for the people around us that we might see how important they are, how dearly loved they are, so we can treat them with love, with dignity, and respect, and communicate and share your good news with them. It's your son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.